as we begin today's message, you know, I love those two, I don't know what you call them. Anyone ever see Mythbusters? I love Mythbusters. They took them off TV, but I remember one time they talked about the myth of shooting fish in a barrel. Technically, you don't shoot fish in a barrel because the percussion of the bullet hitting the water sends sound waves, and that's what kills the fish in the barrel. But when I was growing up, we just tied M80s to rocks and threw them in and saw what happened, came up. But we're shooting fish in the barrel. And what I mean by that is this morning is our annual meeting, and I'm going to be reporting over what happened last year, just highlights. And in every member's mailbox out there, there's a full and complete annual report that's pages thick. And you can go through it and get all the specific details that you desire. But I'm just going to hit some highlights. And this morning, what do I mean by shooting fish in a barrel? We're going to have the annual meeting this morning. I'm just going to do it this morning. But before we even begin that, I just want to say thank you again. I can't tell you how much it means to be a part of this church family. You know that when you extended a call to my family, Lynette and I came here. She passed away about 6 months after that. And you have been nothing but supportive and kind of me and my family as well. And you may be wondering where Jen and Ben are. They're sick at home, and they're on the upstairs, and I'm staying on the downstairs, man. I don't want what they got, whatever it is. What's that? Oh, they are here. Oh, Ben's here. Jen's sick. Sorry, Ben. Didn't see you there. Jen is sick, and I'm staying away. Anyway, thank you for pointing out that Ben is here. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. You're the best church family I know of. You're most loving, supportive, and I just want to say thank you again from the bottom of my heart. And I know that Jen and Ben would say the same thing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, Buchanan Alliance Church, and the title of this morning's message is going along with the annual meeting, Remember, Therefore. What we're about here at Buchanan Alliance Church is basically walking in intimacy with God. And I believe that Scripture teaches that eternal life begins now. And this is actually one of the memory verses for one of the small groups that we have. And this is the testimony. What tense is that? It's the present tense. This is the testimony, present tense. God has given us. What tense is that? Past tense. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Who has life? Who has eternal life? Whoever has the Son. Eternal life begins here and now. And I know the Gospel of John, and this is from 1 John. John was adamant about it. If you read his Gospel closely and this epistle, you'll see that eternal life begins here and now. It isn't afterward. Jesus came that we would have the abundant life and have it even now. And that's why our primary emphasis is walking in intimacy with God, because it is possible to have intimacy with God. It's possible to experience eternal life here and now, walking in intimacy with God, and then simply inviting others to do the same. We want others to walk and have that abundant life as well. Remember, therefore, please turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy, and if you don't have your Bible, that's okay, because I'm going to put it up here, Deuteronomy 5:15. And Deuteronomy 5:15, by the way, where it's blue like that and underlined in that font means there is a blank in sermon notes. And by the way, you can, if you like taking notes, you can take sermon notes, and there's also an insert in your bulletin as well. We got like three inserts in the bulletin this Sunday. Last night I was here till pretty late at night finishing up some stuff to put in the bulletin. You know, I was taught that if you don't think in advance, you have to work harder, and boy, is that true. But anyway, so you've got congregational meeting minutes for all of last year. You have sermon notes, and then inside of that, if I can get that open, there is also, wow, there's two more. The annual report highlights and my report. So there's actually like four inserts in your bulletin. We're starting a library here, eh? Okay, Deuteronomy 5:15. It basically says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. It's really cool. God's hand is His providence. He's in control of everything. It's symbolic of that, and His mighty forearm. And you guys got a good forearm? It means with strength and power he did it. And then remember, therefore, almost all the time in Scripture, and this is just my opinion, but as I didn't look up every single occurrence of the word remember, but the ones that I did, you remember so that you can do something next. You remember to stop at a stop sign because sometime you may have gotten a warning or something. You know what I'm saying? You remember. Remember, therefore, you're remembering so that you can alter your future or do something. So therefore, the Lord your God commanded you of there's a Sabbath day. Now, ironically, the Sabbath day comes up again. One of my passions is I want to be a role model. Do not role model me when it comes to the Sabbath, okay? Do not role model me when it comes to the Sabbath because I'm just not a good leader at that point. And I'm admitting my hypocrisy here. But this passage says to the Israelites, remember, remember, remember. See, remembering is not about living in the past. It's remembering so that we can go on to the future. Remember God's faithfulness so that we can trust him for even greater and greater and greater things. Remember so that we can move forward. Not remember so that you're stuck in the past. Does anyone know anyone that gets stuck in the past? Many churches do. They want to go back to where they were. You can't step in the same stream twice. If you've never thought about that, think about it. Can you ever step in the exact same stream twice? The water's always moving. It's always moving. It's new stream. It's a new water. It may have the same name, but it's a new stream. It's new water. Remember, therefore, so that you can step out in faith. Okay? Spiritually, why are we commanded to remember? Answer. So that we can build upon the past to step out in faith for the future, whatever that is. Whatever that is. And with that in mind, let's remember God's faithfulness in 2019. And that's what this is all about. This congregation meeting is about. Are you guys awake? I know there's fewer of us here, but with that in mind, let's remember God's faithfulness in 2009. Okay, so here's where I need to do some things, and green means I didn't think of it until either last night or this morning or yesterday afternoon or sometime. I was up here adding slides because the slides are, everything is done by Friday at noon. They're just done. The bulletins run off, everything's run off. So whenever I forget to put stuff in there, that means it's in green, and that means it's not in your notes. So the chair, and I'm acting as the chair, I declare a quorum. And if someone objects to that, you can, and then I'll read every name and check it off. But I counted, and we have 30-some members here, and we need 28.04. Okay? So if hearing no objection, the chair declares a quorum, and I'm calling our meeting to order. Now, this is a morning of confession of sins on my part because I'm really good at sinning. Okay? The next item that Robert's Rules has us do is to care for minutes. The reading and adoption of minutes. So in your bulletins, everyone has this sheet. Everyone please pull this sheet out. It says on the front, congregational meeting minutes for 2019. Now last meeting, we had some confusion over minutes. The minutes for all of last year are on here, man. All of last year are on here. All of them are here. I made the mistake of providing you the wrong minutes last time. So to correct that, I put all of them on here. I made the mistake last time. So this is like getting a shotgun out, okay? There's a mouse in the corner. I'm getting a 12-gauge double-barrel shotgun, and I'm shooting it deader than dead. Okay? That's how I handle stuff. Get the shotgun out. The measure of a mechanic is how many big hammers he's got. I've got a lot of hammers in my house. I got a 20-pound sledge, let me tell you, and I've used it. For those of you who don't know hammers, that's a big hammer. 20-pounder is a big hammer. I'm not even sure I can swing it anymore, but I've still got it to show people. Okay, so I'm going to be quiet for a minute. For a couple minutes, I'm going to give you like 3 or 4 or 5 minutes to read through these, and then it will be appropriate for someone to move that we adopt them. And I'm suggesting we adopt all of these minutes so that we just cover everything. There can be no mistakes. We're not trying to hide anything. So please, Now I said I'd stop talking, I'm still talking. Please take a minute and read through these minutes. And then I'm going to ask if there's a motion to adopt the minutes. I see I've already put some people to sleep. Okay, on the back side you'll read, Jeff sincerely apologize for any confusion relating to the minutes of last year's congregational meetings. To remove any and all concern as to what minutes have or have not been adopted or approved, please consider the following motion, that we adopt the January 27th, September 29th, December 15th, and the December 26th, 2019 minutes, and we authorize the church secretary, Carolyn Patterson, to make any needed grammatical edits. December 29th, there's already one. With that correction, a wrong date. That's why we give our secretary latitude to make any corrections in the rascal. It's been moved. Is there a second? Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Are there any questions about these minutes and why we're doing it? All in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. Abstain, so carried. So, as I mentioned, the entire 2019 annual report is in each person's member's mailbox, church mailbox. And so, you can either follow along and fill out sermon notes, which are here, or the other insert that are highlights from the last year. You can do either one. Or you can sit there and just look pretty and handsome. Either way. So our working purpose statement. Several of the elders went off a year and a half ago to Beulah Beach. We were invited there from the district to seek the Lord and to ask the Lord for his direction concerning our church. And this is where we landed after an evening and a morning seeking the Lord. And then we tried to put it into words. And it was basically walking in intimacy with God and inviting others to do the same. We believe that that is what God has called us to do, walk in intimacy with him and invite others. So that's our working purpose statement. General stats for last year, we had 8 salvations. Can we have an amen? Amen. 8 salvations. We had 4 baptisms and our baptisms, yes. We had 4 baptisms, beautiful baptisms. Hopefully we're going to have more. And our average attendance was 148, okay? Just giving you a snapshot of those numbers. And those stats don't mean a whole lot, but they do. You know, when you go to the doctor, they take your weight first, unfortunately. And then they take blood pressure, you know, and that kind of stuff. This is just general information to see what the health, general health of the church is. That's all this is about. Also under general stats, we have 5 new members and an active membership of 86 individuals. So with that in mind, our total adherents are people that come to the church but have not necessarily become a member. In addition to our 86 members, we have 70 adult adherents and 103 adherents under the age of 18. So a total of 259 people that would say, hey, this is their church. There may be more people, you know, it hasn't happened here, but in other places I've been pastoring of a church, and in the paper there'd be someone passed away and it said they were a member of that church and I'd never even heard of them or seen them or anything. So there's probably more than that that claim our church, but people that attend this church, we have about 259 that attend our church on a fairly regular basis. Another general stat is spiritual test. Approximately 1 a month. We do 1 a month. Last week we did a spiritual test for someone, and this week someone else is asked to do a spiritual test. What do I mean by spiritual test? They're just concerned. They have some things going on in their life that they're concerned about, and so we practice 1 John chapter 4. It says test the spirits to see if they're of God or not. And so we get together. Usually it's myself and an elder, and if it's a female that's asking for the test, it's either an elder's wife or someone that's gone through the spiritual testing training that we had. And so it averages once a month that we do that. And Sometimes there's no unclean spirit there. Amen, praise the Lord. Sometimes there are, and we just cast them out. Yeah, we're one of those weird people that believe the New Testament. Jesus cast out demons. We cast out demons. It's not a big deal. It is not a big deal. Do not believe Hollywood. Do not believe Hollywood and all those freaky movies. I don't even watch them. Do not believe Hollywood. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's what Scripture says. And we have the power and authority to cast out unclean spirits. They're just critters that annoy. You know, if we give them ground, for instance, if I constantly lied, I would give reason for a lying demon to come in my life. That does not mean I'm not a Christian. It does not mean that. It means I've given over a ground through habitual sin to an unclean spirit. And so Satan says, I'm the father of lies. I'm going to post someone there, and I'm going to nag them to death with that sin. And they'll have problems having victory over that sin. And actually, if you dig deeper, there's probably reasons for why that person is doing it. Because all sin is linked to some type of lie that we think there's some payoff for it. And so we do spiritual tests. There's approximately one a month. I don't keep track of it. It's all anonymous. We don't. What happens during a deliverance stays there. And if anyone would violate confidentiality and tell someone else about it, I got a 12-gauge shotgun. That ain't going to happen, but we're going to have a come to Jesus conversation. We will. That must stay confidential. And so I don't even track that. I'm just telling you there's approximately one a month. Sometimes there's more than that. Moving on to finances. This is just another measurement. We're going to the doctor and we're getting a checkup. Our income last year was $275,865. And can we say thank you to our treasurer and assistant treasurer? You know, you have no idea, but they're here for a couple hours every week taking care of this stuff. And then at the end of the quarter and then at the year, they're here. I'll go away and come back at 4 or 5 o'clock, and they're here still. There's a tremendous amount of work that's put into making sure that everything is done decently and in order. Our income was $275,865. Our expenses were $257,899. We had a surplus of $17,966, okay? So the ending general fund balance was $34,131, okay? Everyone got that? So we had a income, expenses, and we had a surplus. And right now, and this was as of December 31st. This number was accurate. It's changed now because bills have come in and all kinds of things. It's flux. But as of December 31st, our general fund checking balance was $34,131. Any questions about that? Usually I tease and say, Trevor will answer all your questions. You can ask me these questions, but also our treasurer, assistant treasurer can answer any questions. They do an amazing job of tracking everything. Okay, next thing, finances, they're unaudited, which means, and every year we get our finances audited, but here's something that income to budget, okay? We actually had a budget that was here and we took in this much money, so there was a gap. The gap was $3,938, okay? So we proposed a budget here, we took income here, and so the difference between that was $3,938. And you might ask yourself, but how do we have a surplus? Because I talked to key leaders in the church in ministry positions, and I said, we don't have the money to spend. Do ministry, but only do what's critical and important. So for instance, I went to council last year, and now I am robbing myself of blessings by sharing this, okay? That's how much I care about you guys. I'm willing to rob myself of blessings because Scripture says, don't tell the right hand what the left hand is doing when it comes to finances. Okay, so I'm being a Pharisee right now, and I did this. So knowing last year that we were behind budget, I paid for my way to council, which was about $2,500. Okay, knowing that we were there throughout the year, I did not turn in all my professional expenses, and yes, the elders got on my case, and they're welcome to get on my case, but I'm hard-headed. I am pretty hard-headed. If you haven't figured that out yet, I will listen carefully, but I will pray and take it to the Lord, and I'll do what I believe the Lord is leading me to do. Because a real principle to me is leaders eat last. Except for the Sabbath. Here's what Paul said. As I'm imitating Christ, imitate me. And I believe that to be a very real principle. So as a leader, I will never ask you to sacrifice if I'm not willing to sacrifice. I believe that's wrong. I believe good leadership role models. Except for the Sabbath. Do not follow my role model about the Sabbath. Do not, do not, do not. And for me, it's a lack of faith. Because I already, tomorrow is supposedly my Sabbath. I already lined up. We've got a testing tomorrow at 2 o'clock because that was the best time for the person. So if someone can't meet another time and it's on my Sabbath, I'm going to sacrifice the Sabbath and meet with a person. Okay? It's where it is. Leaders eat last is my philosophy, my approach. So there were other people that I went to. Do not sacrifice ministry. Do not sacrifice ministry. But we weren't making budget. So please. And there was this other idea that some people had that, well, I was given this much money in the budget so I can spend this much money. No, we didn't take in that much. We only took in this much, so you can't spend that much. We're not the federal government here. Okay? So I would put it, was putting reports together based on what the finances were and graphs. I don't have any graphs or anything in that. Shame on me. But I would put graphs together because one glance at a graph, a line graph, and you can see that the red is bigger than the green. And you know what red means, right? Red means, oh no. Green means good. So I would send that out. And so, again, we missed our budget by almost $4,000. Some people sacrificed. A lot of people sacrificed. I willingly did. I didn't even tell anyone about it. And then some, I don't even know who the nosy person was that leaned into that and ratted me out, but it happened. And I'm just sharing with you because leaders need to lead. And I promise you, Pastor Trevor and I, we will never ask you to do something that we're not striving to do ourselves, except for the Sabbath. One exception. Okay, because I've not been a good role model on the Sabbath. And I'm sure there's other places I've not been a good role model, but when we're trying to lead with integrity, okay? So any questions about, and Miss Carolyn, who's not here, she called earlier this morning and said that her and John weren't feeling good and wouldn't be here. So the minutes for today, I will be making minutes for today, and they'll be in your mailboxes within a couple weeks. And then at the next congregational meeting, you have minutes from this meeting to look at. Okay, I will do a better job of getting minutes to you. I will do it to the best of my ability. So any questions about the budget deficit? Our budget was here. We took in here. The difference is $3,900, and because so many people said, okay, we're not going to stop ministry, but we're going to be very careful about how we spend money, we have $34,000 in the bank right now. Okay, does that make sense? Any questions? And by the way, Stump the Chump is still for today too, so I will be up here afterward if you have any questions. It's easy to stump the chump, but I'm just telling you, come up and ask. Any questions are fair game. Okay. The Great Commission Fund. Our giving was $27,615, which actually is a little over 10% of our budget. And that's one of the goals that the Alliance has had, to have a 10% giving to the Great Commission Fund. And you might be wondering, if you're new to this church, what is the Great Commission Fund? The CNMA, from its very inception, wanted to send international workers out all over the world. And how it works is each Alliance church sends in money to one fund, and then they disperse that money to the international workers based upon their needs, their cost of living. So if you're in Burkina Faso and you can live on $500 a month, that's what you get, is $500 a month. If you're in Japan and it takes $5,000 a month, you're going to get $5,000 a month. We run a lean, mean machine in the CNMA. And so, I forgot, giving cards here. So when you mark Great Commission Fund, that goes, our treasurers cut a check once a month, and that money goes directly to the national office. None of that stays here. So if you don't give to the Great Commission Fund, I give to the Great Commission Fund, I typically send mine or give an offering or at council or something like that. That's how our international workers are supported. Other organizations, I know when I go down there, I like being close to you guys, so I want to get down there, but I cut you guys off. So other international workers have to go around and raise their own support. Alliance missionaries, the full-time missionaries, do not do that. So on the offering envelope, if you mark down Great Commission Fund, that money, it never stays here. It goes right off to the national office. Once a month, we cut a check. Is that right? Once a month. So it stays here for 1 month for the max 30 days. And I think it's by the 10th of the month, it's sent off to the national office. That's what the manual says anyway. I know we do it monthly. Last Sunday a month, it gets sent off. It'll go out today. There's our assistant treasurer. So any money that comes in, we don't take any of that. It goes straight to them. So when you designate $10, $50, $100 to go to the Great Commission Fund, every single penny of that goes straight to the Great Commission Fund. That's how the CNMA works, so that our international workers do not have to come home and raise all this support. We support them. Every local Alliance church does. I support them. I tithe to this church. I give above a tithe to this church. I probably give almost 20% to this church. Again, I'm robbing because I want you to know. And then above and beyond that, I give to the Great Commission Fund. You cannot outgive God. All of my life, He's taught me that. Time and time, you can't outgive Him. I'm not just talking financially. He will bless your socks off. He will bless you in so many other ways. You can't out-tithe the Lord. If you're not tithing, I would just challenge you to consider it. And if you can't possibly do it, I know that there are times that we make poor decisions and a person may not be able to tithe. Then give 2% with the goal of increasing it. And then increase it. And just test. Malachi 3:10, the Lord says, test me and see. And He's talking about finances. Test me and see. Again, and I'm not saying it because we need your money, because God does not need my money. He doesn't need your money. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But He invites us to join with Him so that we can be a part of what He's doing. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And so, praise the Lord, we were able to give a little over 10% of what we, you know, above and beyond your support of this church, we gave to the Great Commission Fund. You know, we were 257 and 27, so it's more than 10%. It's probably 11 or 12. I didn't do the math. I apologize. Do the math in your head, you math guys. Anyway, but for a district, our district is challenging our churches to give, I believe it's 17%. We're doing really well, but we can do better. Is that right, Trevor? Did our district say 17% was the goal? So we've got room to grow. We got room to grow. But praise the Lord. Can we thank the Lord for this? Okay, next thing. Outreach ministries. We have a partnership with Restoring Hope, and we've done outreaches to Valley Green, and there are other ministry outreaches that our brother and sister, Matt, and his precious wife have done. And so we have that as outreaches that we have. And to be honest, we're waiting on the Lord. As we grow in intimacy with the Lord, I know He's going to reveal to us more and more things how He wants us to reach out. He just will. He will. The last thing that we want to do, the last thing I want to do, is make plans and then ask God to bless them. That's backwards. Now, I know you've never done that. But I've done that before. I've made plans and then asked God to bless them. That's just backwards. No, let's get still before the Lord, hear his voice, and then we join with him in what he wants us to do. And we believe partnering with Restoring Hope is one of those things that he's led us to do. Current ministries in our church, we have Grace Gals Ministries, we have Prayer Walks, Operation Christmas Child, the Parish House Ministries, Remember New, and Grief Share, which is a grief group that we host. There's all kinds of ministries that are going on, but we are waiting till the Lord lays it on our hearts, and then we're joining with him in what we're doing. So major projects. I'm moving on because you guys are sleeping and getting hungry. So major projects. We incorporated the church. We sealed the driveway. We bought two AED emergency medical devices. If you don't know what that is, volunteering will use it on you. We'll jumpstart your heart. If you fall asleep in this room, we may just use it on you. How's that? We may jumpstart you there. We have two of them. One is right out here, and the other is being put down in the gym. Because we got, man, if someone runs up those steps to get it and runs back down, they're probably going to need it on themselves before we get to another person. So we purchased two of them, one for the gym and one for up here. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's right outside. And, you know, I've gone to first aid before and CPR. You know, using one of these increases the potential of saving someone's life just exponentially, in compared to just doing CPR alone. So we have two of those. Again, remember therefore, so that's what we did last year. Now I want to just talk about in the future. And here's what I believe more than anything. I was in a meeting one time. I've been a church consultant in other churches over the years and things, and I was in this really tough meeting. And there was this little old lady that was bucking every single thing that I did, every single thing. And then it was almost lunchtime, and she said, "Pastor, I got a word from the Lord." And I'm like, oh no, what do I do? And I said, "Sophie, what's the word from the Lord?" And she said, "Here's the word from the Lord, Habakkuk 2:2. And then we all opened our Bibles to Habakkuk 2:2. And this is what Habakkuk 2:2 says. "Write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets so a herald may run with it." I was like, yes, yes. And that's what this is all about. That's what faith planning is. Who has the revelation? So we need to be still. And following this verse, it says, "Though it linger, wait for it. Though it linger, wait for it." Wait for the revelation. We get the revelation from God. Then make it plain on tablets. Write it down. Write it down so that we can pass it on. And then we can run with it. Now, I was telling my sister, I can't hardly run across the thing anymore because of my bad knees. But for this, I'll run. Write down the revelation, make it plain on tablets so that a herald can run with it. And that's what we're striving to do. That's what your leadership team is striving to do. The elders meet quarterly for a morning of fasting and prayer and just being still before Abba, Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We're primarily there. Lord, what's your will? What's your will? We're not asking you to bless us or bless our plans. What's your will? So that we can write it down. Make it plain on tablets so we can run with it, so we can share what we're sensing of the Lord. And then we believe that you're, because it's of the Lord, you're going to affirm it and you're going to sense that's with it. I want to run too. That is our primary approach. That is our primary approach. That's my primary approach. Waiting on the Lord. When we sense his voice, we write it down and then we join him in getting her done. And the elders are doing that. So some sensings from the Lord. Now, this is my sensings from the Lord. I've shared this with the elders, but I don't want to implicate the elders in this. This is my sensings from the Lord. I believe that we need, okay, everyone got that? So if this really ticks you off, get mad at me, not the elders. Okay, that's what I'm saying. What I am sensing from the Lord is we need to continue moving from knowing about God to intimately knowing God on a moment-by-moment basis. I run into so many people that they know all about God. They know facts about him, but they don't walk in intimacy with him, and there's a world of difference. Can anyone call the president up and say, "Hey, let's have lunch on Tuesday"? It ain't going to happen because none of us know him. And the president is nobody in comparison to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the great I Am. And we can call him. We can meet with him. I believe we need to just keep moving. Keep moving. You see, and I've been in lots of different churches because of my ministry positions. Most North American churches, and I said American, tend to focus more on intellectual knowledge. I can't tell you how many Bible studies I've been in where they study Hezekiah and this and that, and oh, they had hot and cold running water, and oh my goodness. And then I hear, oh, that was such a great lesson. That was so wonderful. That was so powerful. And I'm like going nuts. Because it's about information. We think that knowing something changes us. It doesn't. And we need to keep moving. We need to keep moving from knowing about God and studying about the Word of God into an intimacy, because when there's an intimacy with God, we're being transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus. It's not just head knowledge. It impacts our heart. And he changes us. And other people see the change and are attracted to it. And yeah, they'll say, you're different, you're weird, you're whatever. But I'm telling you, they see something different. We're not like the rest of the world. And we shouldn't be. We are the aliens here. Peter says we're strangers and aliens. If people don't think we're different, something is wrong. Amen? It's true. And so we have been moving in that direction, but I think we just need to keep doing that. We need to keep doing that. And it's done through intimacy with God. Each one of us seeking Him, each one of us spending time with Him. Second thing, to continue moving from an attractional model of the church. Come and see. How many have seen the movie Field of Dreams? If you didn't, it's okay. I'll tell you what the story's about. Here it is in one sentence. If you build it, they will come. If you build it, they will come. And in the 50s and 60s and maybe the 70s, that worked. If you build a church, people will come. If you build it, they'll come. That isn't true anymore. That just isn't true anymore. So many people have been interviewed in the recent years, and they're asked about the church, and they're like, eh. You know, if this church disappeared tomorrow, was gone, would it impact anyone in Buchanan other than us? Well, something is wrong if it isn't. So I want us, again, I'm not blaming the elders. The elders know that this is a passion of mine, and I'm not putting words in their mouth, but every elders meeting, it's on my report. We need to continue moving from a come and see, from an attractional, come for the ministry, come for the programs. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful to come for ministry and come to programs. But I want not just that. I want us to be a missional, attractional church so that we're on mission for God. Because that's what we are. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you what? Remember that? Sunday school guys? Anyone who grew up in the church? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Or in 1 Corinthians, ambassadors. A missionary of Jesus Christ. And missionary simply means one sent with a message. An apostle, one sent with a message. We all have a message. We have a message. Jesus in us. Jesus in us. And I'm not telling you to get your Bibles out and walk around with your Bibles and hitting people over the head. I used to do that when I was a teenager. I offended so many people. And then I beat the snot out of them because they wouldn't receive Jesus. Especially I was the captain of their team. It was called power evangelism. I'm not telling you to do that. I am not saying to do that. I'm telling you, Jesus should be so in us that people see Christ in us, the hope of glory, and are drawn to Jesus. Hey, I'll try anything. I buy candy for different people in this town that don't know Jesus. And I use the excuse at the bank. Once a month, I take them candy. I'm making two deposits, this check and this money. You girls are keeping me out of the ditch, right? Now I use that as an excuse. What am I really trying to do? I'm trying to befriend them so they see Christ in me and they see that there's something different. I take other candy. I take candy to three different places. Used to be four, but that closed. I take candy to three places because, just a little inroad, when I'm at Walmart, I talk to the people that I'm checking out with. How you doing today? Are people behaving? Hey, if you ever see me, because I use the checkout, the person, the single checkout. Yeah, and shame on you if you have a whole basket of junk there, okay? That's for us people that are impatient. That's not true. But I go up to them and I say, hey, if you ever see me doing something really stupid, would you please stop me because I'm not intentionally doing it? If I walk out of here and didn't pay for something, would you please stop me? Because I'll pay for it. Please. I will do anything to try and build a friendship with them. There's one girl that used to color her hair. Hey, that's a pretty color. Why do you color your hair blue? What? You like blue? You're pretty enough without that. I will try almost anything to befriend people. And I'm not an outgoing person. We all know that. Amen? You ain't seeing me hugging anyone there or anything like that. So, I want us to be fishers of men. And we're moving in that direction. I'm saying, let's become even better. Even better. Even better. You're the bait. You're the bait that Jesus uses. You're the pleasing aroma, as Scripture says. We're the bait. We're the bait. I actually love going to get to the dentist. I used to despise it because there's so many people that are so sweet and kind at our dentist office. If you don't have a good dentist, we got one. That's freebie, dude. You probably don't even want it because you're overworked now. But I'm telling you, I enjoy going to the dentist. In fact, the first time I ever went there, my neighbor was in right next to me that I've been trying to witness to. And God put my neighbor right there next to me. And I know he's terrified of me because he leaves a whole different lifestyle. And they know I'm a preacher. So I know he's terrified, but he's not now. Every time I say, hey, how you doing? You doing okay? Hey, I'm praying for you and your family. And I am praying for him and his entire family. I don't care about someone's lifestyle. God will fix it. Isn't that what he's doing to me and you? He accepts us just the way we are, and then he transforms us from the inside out. How in the world, I'm preaching now, we should never expect the world to live a Christian life. We can't even do it apart from the Holy Spirit. So why do we expect them to? I don't expect those people in D.C. to do anything but what they're doing because they don't know Jesus. They need Jesus. We need to be praying for them. Amen? That's what Scripture says. Pray for those in authority over you. They need it. But let's not expect them to live a Christian life. Because they can't. It isn't possible for them. Unless they're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he receives us the way we are. And then he transforms us. Okay. Enough preaching. Opportunities. If not already a part of a small group, prayerfully consider joining a small group. Please. We got small groups going on all through the week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We got small groups going on. We got multiple small groups. Please. If you're not a part of a small group, you're missing out. In fact, during Sunday morning, I cannot come down and say, hey, did you have your devotions this week? How you doing this week? I will never do that, except a general question to everyone. But in a small group, there can be accountability. There can be love. And we can love, you know, at a distance. I love you. I care for you. It's easy to say. Talk is cheap. In a small group, they actually will hug you and encourage you and support you and gently hold you accountable. If you're not a part of a small group, you should be in a small group because that's where you're going to grow. If you want victory over sin, get in a small group and they'll help you. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another so that you can be healed. I'm telling you, a small group, it's opportunity. We have them. We're not just doing them to do them. Jesus had a small group. Small groups are where body life can occur on such a higher level. Please, if you're not a part of a small group, consider it. Ask the Lord to give you a spiritual mentor or a coach. This is another big one. I have multiple people beating on me every week. And I invite it. Actually, it's every month. Every week I have an accountability partner that we pray together and we hold each other accountable. That's weekly. And every month I have like three mentors. And I have a coach. I pay someone to ask me the tough questions. If you do not have a mentor or someone in your life that's walking with you, you're missing out on a blessing. We were never meant. In fact, the very Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we were never meant to be lone wolves. Even the Trinity, self-sustained, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they have perfect fellowship with each other through all eternity. The biggest thing I believe, and this is, I could be wrong, I think the biggest thing Jesus suffered on the cross was Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. For all eternity past, he had intimacy with God the Father, and it was broken because of our sin. We weren't created to be lone wolves. Please, prayerfully consider, and you might say, how do you do that? Lord, I need a mentor. Please reveal him or her. Ladies with ladies, men with men. Ladies with ladies, men with men. Everyone repeat that right now. Ladies with ladies, men with men. If I see it mixed, I'm going to come after you. It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous. Ladies with, unless it's your dad or grandpa or something like that, that's okay. But ladies with ladies, men with men. Okay, that's the way it should be. I've seen too many train wrecks. Other opportunities. There's this main event coming up on April 24th through 26th. It's called Mountain State Celebration. It's Will Graham, who is the grandson of Billy Graham. Will Graham, the grandson of Billy Graham. Anyone know who Billy Graham is? Will Graham, his grandson, is going to have basically a crusade at Fairmont State University. Fairmont State University. Is that the right name? It's a state school. And the president's a born-again believer, and she's invited him to come. And there's prayer gatherings all over the place to prepare for this. And here's another opportunity. Christian Life and Witness training classes from the Billy Graham Association. And they're going to be held at South Buchanan Mission Church, Pastor Ed's church. You know Tanya, right? Anyone know who Tanya is? You know who I'm talking about? Her hubby. He's a good guy. It's a great church. It's a great church. He's a good guy. That's where they're going to have these classes. And here's the opportunities. Tuesday, February 18th. Tuesday, February 25th. Tuesday, March 3rd. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go. Because I want even more training. I want to learn how to be even a better witness of Jesus. Please prayerfully consider coming. They've got a lot of stuff. They've got really good material. I've seen the material. Trevor's seen the material. It's biblical. It's rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Remember God's faithfulness and blessing. Therefore, let's trust Him for even greater things in 2020. Amen? He has been faithful. He wants to bless us. He does. Is there a motion to adopt the pastor's report? We're following Robert's rules here. Is there a second? And now, are there any questions? Now the report is kind of before you, and any questions? Boy, clear as mud, huh? See, I don't know what that means. Either you're in agreement or you just don't care. I'm not sure which. I apologize if I just offended anyone. Okay, all those in favor of adopting the pastor's report as a whole, please say aye. Opposed, no. Next, what you've all been waiting for, is there a motion to adjourn? Is there a second? So moved and seconded. All those in favor of adjourning, please stand. Do we have a closing song? We have a closing song, so stand and sing with me. I should know that, but I didn't.